time to chat labour law issues. So we are with Gavin Stansfield, director at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr Inc. Good morning, Gavin. Love having you on the line with me. Good morning.
Thanks very much, Brad. Likewise. Good morning to you.
So we're talking about resignations and notice periods this morning. And there's something that I've thought of, and I know you've mentioned it to me as well here in our correspondence, but so often you would take that little envelope and you slide it across to your supervisor, whoever needs to receive your letter of resignation, and you just assume they will say, thank you for this, we'll be sad that you'll be going, and you know, work out your notice period and have a happy life. You never assume that somebody might say, well, actually, I don't accept this resignation.
Yeah, let's just be clear, Brad. When you say resignation, is something have you thought of? Is there something you want to tell your producer and the listeners?
This was just a little example that I was sharing.
Okay, we clarified that.
Good, that's out of the way. How awkward that would have been.
You've got to be careful what you say on radio.
Exactly,
Brad. So let's just this is something we may have touched on in the past, but it's really such an important topic that it's sort of useful just to remind everybody again. And I think more or less there's this is something that, you know, sort of 5-10 years ago, there was a lot of misapprehensions about and misunderstandings, quite frankly, on what the effect is of a resignation. And I think more or less there is a better understanding of a very important point, and that is that a resignation by an employee is a unilateral act and has the effect of bringing about an end to the employment contract. Now, what does that mean? I think some of the misconceptions that I've spoken about always flowed from the terminology, and the employer has accepted the resignation. I mean, that's a well-known phrase, and I think that often led to the misunderstanding that says, well, a resignation is a tender. In other words, it's some sort of an offer by the employee to terminate their contract, and that only becomes effective once the employer has accepted that tender or that offer.
Yeah.
So in other words, that would seem to denote or suggest that the employer has the ability to turn around and say, no, I'm sorry, we don't accept the resignation, and therefore, factually and more importantly, legally, the resignation doesn't become effective. That's a misnomer, Brad.
Huh.
If you tender, and again, I use the word tender, you can see whether the terminology doesn't help. But if you submit your resignation and you tell your employer, I'm terminating my contract of employment, that is a unilateral act. In other words, that act has the effect of terminating the contract. It does not require or depend on any form of acceptance by the employer in order for your resignation to become valid. And I know we still hear, you know, these days the terminology, and the employer has accepted the resignation. But I guess that all that means is that, well, they've received it and they've taken note of it. And again, a very important point to stress is that it doesn't require acceptance on the part of the employer in order to become effective. So that's the first point. And then, you know, moving on from there, how much notice are you required to give your employer? Well, you will always, if you have a contract of employment, before you look to the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, you must look to your contract, because the Basic Conditions of Employment Act provides minimum time periods in respect of resignation.
Yeah.
Let's just touch on what those are very quickly. If you've been employed for less than 6 months, you owe your employer 1 week. If you've been employed for longer than 6 months but less than 12 months, in other words, less than a year, you owe your employer 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've been employed, again, I'm talking BCA, and these are the minimums, if you've been employed for longer than 12 months, longer than a year, you owe your employer 4 weeks notice. Now, again, when you talk about 4 weeks, people often get caught up in things like, is 4 weeks a month? Is a month a calendar month?
Oh.
You know, what happens if I choose to resign on the 6th of a month or the 13th of a month? You know, is it true that I only can resign on the 1st of a month or the 15th of the month? All of these things are generally regulated by contract. So that's what I said earlier. The first thing you must do, if you are trying to work out how much resignation notice you owe your employer, you must look to your contract, because provided your contract, it doesn't contradict the BCA and the notice periods I've just read. In other words, an obvious contradiction would be if you have a contract that says if you've been employed for longer than 12 months, you only need to give a week. That's going to be the BCA will apply, and it's, of course, it's baseline minimum standard legislation, so that you cannot go less than what the BCA says. But in many instances, a contract will provide for more notice. So a contract might say, for example, you owe your employer a calendar month's notice. There's a very important provision in the BCA that if it says your employer requires of you a calendar month's notice, you can never be required to give your employer more than what your employer requires of you. In other words, if your employer says you must give a calendar month's notice, likewise, your employer owes you a calendar month's notice. So that there must be parity there as well. So a calendar month's notice is generally a full calendar month. So you must resign on the 30th or the 1st and work out your month. If there's no specification as to a calendar month, if it's simply 4 weeks, for example, or if it says a month's notice, then there's no obligation for you to resign on the 1st or the 30th or the 31st. You can resign on the 13th, and your notice will run to the 13th the following month, if that's a month, or 4 weeks, of course, slightly less than a month. You just do your calculation accordingly. So that is how much notice you will owe your employer. Look to your contract, see what your contract says. And again, to emphasize that your employer owes you the same amount of notice, not less, than whatever your contract stipulates. If your contract is silent on that, you fall back on the BCA, and we've already touched on what those notice requirements are as well. There's still a lot more for me to say, but I'm going to pause there, and I'm going to give you an opportunity if there's anything you want to check up into this point.
Yeah, we don't have heaps of time this morning, so I'm just going to jump to this one because this is a conversation that I've heard people have in the past and talking about taking your annual leave during that notice period that we're just talking about right now. And then, of course, you know, there's also the other side of, can you get paid out for the annual leave? But let's just, for the time we've got, just nail that one down. Can you take annual leave during your notice period so the notice period is shorter than a month, if a month is your length?
So what the BCA says is that an employer may not permit or require. So in other words, you cannot, even if an employee wants to take annual leave, the employer must say no to that request. And if the and likewise, the employer cannot require. So in other words, cannot force you to take annual leave during your notice period. You must work out that. The simple reason why that law exists is to protect annual leave entitlements. And so that once the employer knows that you're leaving, it cannot force you to take your 13, 14, 21 days accrued annual leave, so it doesn't get the benefit of your services during the notice period. But at the same time, you're entitled to be, under certain circumstances, different topic, you're entitled to be paid out for that accrued leave. And what the law is there to protect you, that you get the cash value of that leave, rather than your employer forcing you to take leave during your notice period.
Yeah, thanks for clearing that up. That's crystal clear. Thank you so much. All we got time for this morning, Gavin, always appreciate our time together on the air. It's Gavin Stansfield, Director of Employment Law at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr Inc. Have yourself a great week and enjoy the rain. May it fall in buckets from this afternoon onwards.
I couldn't agree more.
Have a super day. Thanks, Gavin.
You too, Brad.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And if you want to get in touch with us, if you have a question for Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr Inc., like, this is the quality of people. I mean, these are the country's top labor lawyers on the air every Monday. Wonderfully eloquent. And he's not sitting with the papers in front of him. He's just speaking because he knows his stuff. These boys don't play. So if you want to get a question in, they are asking me. Samiksha Singh always says to me, Brad, I never really know what to talk about because I'm always hoping that your listeners will tell me. So I have to always figure something out at the last minute because I'm not getting all of your listeners' questions that I so want to answer. Here's somebody who generally charges by the hour, who's asking you to be able to do something for free. The world is a crazy place, and the craziness happens right here on the Get Up and Go Breakfast Show, but needs your questions. So send it through to us on SMS 379-8379-88. And as you begin to eat tik wat so langer vat as of wat op SMS sal pas of a WhatsApp sal pas, stuur ons se e-pos. Stuur dit na gospel by kaapsekansel.co.za, gospel@kpulpit.co.za. Celebrate.